Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Under the sparkly lights, we raise our glass. Sharing laughs and stories, the moments that last. From puppy tales to vibrant dreams, in this royal space, nothing's as it seems. Cheers to the queens, let the laughter flow. With every step of Prosecco, we steal the show. Uncork the joy, let the good times roll. Together we'll shine and reclaim our glow.
You know, G, I think that we don't think about enough how we were raised and how it affected sometimes just everything in our lives.
Oh, I think we think about it a lot.
I know, but it's like, who'd have thought at our ages we'd be in these situations, constantly feeling like we're starting over?
Well, because that's just life. And I think as we're getting older, we're realizing more that that is life. And something that I've come to really hold near and dear is the idea that the only constant is change.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Nothing is permanent.
You're right. And I keep saying, I hope that through all these changes that we're able to really learn and heal, because that seems to be a problem out there.
Well, it is a problem, but life is funny this way, where if we don't learn the lesson, it is going to keep showing up again and again.
Bet.
So I'm even at a phase right now where I'm realizing now that I can look back and say, shit, I thought I knew that lesson. I thought I had that down. And then a different situation presented itself.
Yeah.
And so now it's a different situation. And so I'm thinking, well, it's not the same kind of circumstances as before. So I did learn my lesson, but this is different.
This is different.
And I really felt, oh, it's different.
Yeah. So welcome to Prosecco Queens podcast. So as you all may remember, my sister Gina has been on a couple episodes with me before, specifically Sisters with Voices season one. And there is a conversation that we have been having, and we finally decided to kind of record it. And I thought about it from my first episode of this season, where I talk about some of the stuff that I learned in 2025. And that I want to bring into 2026. And silence became this huge theme, and how silence has always been either a detriment or a virtue. And in our lives, and we talk about it in those Sisters with Voices, we were raised in the same household with the same parents, completely differently.
Same.
Yeah, completely differently. And that has had such interesting and traumatic effects on our lives as we've gotten older, and everything from the way we deal with relationships. I deal as being a parent, professional relationships, friends, whatever it may be. And I think it's important to highlight how silence can be a detriment. It can be a virtue. And the thing that I thought was interesting about wanting to have Gina on again, not just because she's my sis and we have these conversations, and I think it's such a good conversation to have, is the fact that we, weirdly enough, have used silence completely in different ways in our lives. And we've betrayed ourselves because of silence. I've learned how strong silence can be in a positive way. And yeah, so welcome to one of our sofa chats. I think that this is a really good jumping off point because we are going to talk about different ways that we cope and ways that we've learned and lessons that we've learned and what we've seen in other people being, unfortunately, and fortunately, single in our 40s, right? Not a place we necessarily saw ourselves, but a better place. And I think that's really what the whole point is. It's a better place than we thought we would be. And I'm a few years into that single life. You're kind of still fairly brand new. And I want to preface when I say single life that we're not talking this is a bad thing, right? By no means. It's just a weird situation where when you're in a relationship for years and you're sharing a life with somebody, you don't always think that you're going to be in that position again, right? And I think now in our 40s, I say the same thing. Around my 40th birthday is when my breakup was official, and that was almost just about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was you were right around your 40th birthday just a couple months ago. Yep. So the universe got jokes.
It sure does. That's one thing we know for sure.
The universe got jokes, but it's cool. It's okay. It's a blessing.
Good. It's good. It's
yeah.
All good.
It's all good because it's not about, oh my God, you're single again? It's about, bro, I finally am figuring out who the fuck I am.
Well, exactly. And I think a lot of it is just, at least for me personally, because I can't speak for anybody else, but it's about coming back to and finding yourself.
Hell yeah.
When, you know, when you've been in a relationship for so long and you kind of lose that sense of, you know, well, who am I outside of this?
Yeah.
And for me in particular, it was hard because I didn't even know who I was in it.
Ooh.
And so, and that's an interesting thing to even say, because even while I say it, I also feel in the same way, the complete opposite, to where it's like, oh no, I knew exactly who I was the whole time. I was just silencing myself to my own detriment.
Yeah.
I was not necessarily scared of the talking. I was scared of what the outcome of that talking would be.
Yeah.
What is on the other side of this conversation?
Yeah.
And because I didn't know, I just always chose to stay silent. It was my way of keeping the peace. Mm-hmm. And it was, oh, well, he's not saying anything.
Yeah.
Then everything must be good.
Right. Well, it's a way to
News is good news.
Yeah. And it's a way to cope from discomfort.
Yeah.
Because that's on my side the same thing, but the complete opposite.
Right.
For me to cope with my anxiety and discomfort, I didn't shut the fuck up.
Right.
Right. Like for me, it's always like I would look at somebody sitting on the couch while I'm trying to have a conversation and they're looking at me blankly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm starting out very nice. Let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation. I'm trying to communicate very healthily. We're talking even therapy tools together.
Yes.
And I'm getting nothing. And then slowly I can start to feel the fire coming out of my ears where I'm screaming, listen to me, goddammit. What don't you get? Like and someone's just, and then I'm
raging.
Oozing and raging and seething. And this person just goes to sleep because that's their coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And I want to put a pillow over his face because I'm just like, how could you sleep knowing that I am this upset?
Right.
Right. And I think that's where, for me, silence really was always of self-betrayal as well, because I didn't understand that it was more of, it should have been more of a virtue. I didn't understand that I should have just said, you know what? You're not getting it this time. I've said it a million times, the same shit. We've had these same conversations a million times, and this is continuously how you're going to be.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of repeating yourself? But the problem, and we've talked about this in the past, is the desire of yours to have that last word.
Yeah.
I need you to hear me. I need you to understand me.
Yeah.
You are going to listen to me, and I don't care what it takes.
That's exactly, yeah.
Right?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got.
Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it was and always has been the complete opposite. Because as we were growing up, you were the one
always
constantly running your mouth. Always. And I would see what that would do.
Yeah.
You would get in trouble. And I would sit back like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And even till this day, mom will say, oh, well, see, Gina always knew to keep her mouth shut.
Not knowing how messed up that actually is.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, there are situations where it helps me.
Yeah, I bet.
Right?
I bet.
My ability to remain calm and remain peaceful, yes, I do see that as a virtue, but it's also something to where I'm now starting to try and find the balance of it.
Yeah.
I do believe that silence is a virtue. I think there are certainly times where we do need to kind of just, choose to wipe our hands of it and say, you know what, I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's just, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
And just leave it alone, even knowing you don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to protect your peace. There's sometimes no point because you just want to wring somebody's neck if they're just not going to get it.
I'm almost 40 fucking three and it still takes me work. And that's exactly the point that you made. Like when we were kids, I always had this thought, like it was rebellion. It was always, why just because you're an adult? Does my voice not matter? See, we didn't grow up. People say a lot of times in Latin households, the parents or the kids will grow up where their parents will almost be silent, almost like use the silent treatment as punishment.
Right.
That wasn't us. No, there was no silence in our house.
Yeah, there was. It was coming from me.
I was gonna actually. You took the words right out of my mouth. It was coming. You were the only one.
I was the silence. The wanting to attempt peace.
Stop fighting. Yes, always. Because for me, we came from parents that they just weren't a good couple, and we didn't have a really good representation of a good couple necessarily, right? They still are not bad people. We love our parents. Let's always put that out there because we know that they still drive us insane. But this
naturally,
is
but naturally, we're blessed they're still with us.
Right? I mean, realistically. So I think what we learned in those days, or what I know I learned for sure, was the idea that I used to say, wait a second, why is it that regardless of who you are, you can tell me that my voice doesn't matter? Mm-hmm. You can tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Especially when I knew I was right.
Right.
That was the part that frustrated me.
Well, that was also because we were taught, do as I say.
Yep.
Point blank. Period.
That's it. Don't question.
And don't go against what I say.
Don't question me.
Right? So
don't embarrass me.
Don't question. Woo! Don't embarrass. Don't look at a thing. Don't ask me for nothing.
No.
But at the same time,
you have to be seen and not heard.
But that was also it. Now I also think it's important to say we also didn't go without. Right?
Never.
We were very well taken care of, and so mom, dad, we love you.
We love
obviously.
You. Yeah.
But. It's not completely unscathed.
No, and it was generational, right?
Yes,
it was generational. I still find myself slipping with the kids, and I'm like, I am the parent,
right?
Shut the hell up,
right?
Because I'm sick of both you two,
right?
Thinking that we're going to continue this debate,
right?
This is not a democracy.
So then, how do you now manage? Because my niece is 19 now. So how do you manage when she reacts kind of how you did towards mom, and I'm going to keep talking. I'm grown now too. So I also deserve a certain amount of respect, and it's hard to delineate the, you are my child and not my roommate.
Yes.
Like you're grown. Yes. But so how do you kind of manage that a little bit?
That's been difficult at moments. Because I'm always like, yo, you would not have anything if it wasn't for me. And legitimately, no matter how I bust my ass, legitimately, because I have always with her realistically been a single parent, mm-hmm. right? I know I was married to her stepfather and stuff. It didn't matter. I was a single parent there too, right? Like, so the reality was that with her now, I think a lot less of it is debating. I'm okay with debating certain things. Cool. Let's talk about it, right? If I'm wrong, prove to me I'm wrong.
Right.
Then I'll say, I'll take accountability. Got it. I'm wrong. Great.
Right.
It's not like you could prove to when we were younger, try to say, Mom, the sky is blue and the sky will be blue. And she said, that shit is green. You better believe it was green.
Right.
You're like, it's very different. Yes. Now I was like, okay, well, that was my bad. All right, fine. Well, now I learned something new, right? Let's move on. That to me is not the problem. The problem is the fine or God, mom, or that disrespectful shit, because then I want to string them from the roof.
Right.
That's what I kind of go, even from the 9-year-old too. Do you not understand who the parent is? We're not roommates.
Right.
You know, when I tell you to do something because you live in this house, your ass is still going to do it. You're not going to tell me when you're going to do it.
Right.
Like, if I tell you the bathroom has to get cleaned today, you best be on that. The garbage has to get taken out. You best be on. I shouldn't have to tell you.
Right.
But if and when I tell you, you better make sure it's done, right? So there is a weird line of that because she's still my dependent. She's still my baby. She's still my daughter. But it's weird living with another adult who I'm not married to.
Right.
Which unfortunately has happened more often than not in my life, you know? So, yeah. So that part has been a little difficult. And because we're trying to break some of these curses that we were raised with, that our parents were raised with, it is a fine line for me. Also because with them, I can't be silent.
It's like you're inside my brain, because I was just going to say, like, my next question was going to be, okay, so are there moments in motherhood where you've chosen silence with the kids?
Well, I'm sure there are in general.
Like, for any, and I don't mean just in terms of like specifically, was it a detriment? Was it anything like that?
Yeah.
Just in terms of like, it's just not even worth yelling, screaming, fighting, or saying anything. Or is it something maybe that we're still working towards?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think also it depends, again, with which kid. Because my oldest, your oldest niece, she knows at this point what she should and should not be doing. Simple as that. So, yes, there are many things I still have to teach her. Hundreds of years of things, of wisdom that we've all come up with and we've learned and continue to grow and learn. But I think sometimes with her, I have to step back and go, let her figure it out for herself. Then she thinks she knows better.
Right. Right.
What she said to me, I think recently, she said, Mom, why are you always making it about you? I'm like, whoa, this has nothing to do with me. I'm using an example from when I went to one of the same things.
Your own life experience.
It's all my own life. I'm not saying, oh no, but this happened. No, I'm like, yo, let me tell you a time that I experienced this, mm-hmm. how I handled it and what came out of it. So maybe you can take some wisdom from that and apply it to your own situation. When she said that,
so silence was not chosen in that moment.
But in that moment, it kind of did, only because at that point I was like, you know what? Figure it out yourself then.
Right.
That was it. Figure it out for yourself. With the little one, it's harder because you know your nephew. He has the tendency to just get overstimulated very quickly. And if I thought Natalie was thick-headed, my son is me. In so many ways. And his father is the same way. We're very quick to get heated. My son takes very little before he's blowing a gasket.
Right.
And when he was younger, I was like, okay, well, you know, he's just learning his emotions. He's going to be 10 in June.
Yeah. So now you should know him a little bit better.
So, yeah. So now
to identify.
So now there are moments that with him, I have to choose silence, because there are moments that I have to look at him and go, that shit is not acceptable. You're going to be 10. We're not throwing fits. We are not acting this way. And if I was your grandmother, boy.
When my mom got sick, she felt powerless. Insurance denied her meds. Her doctors talked over her, and they couldn't agree on anything. She kept getting worse.
And then you found Solace for me. They gave me my own healthcare advocate. My advocate found better doctors, scheduled my appointments, and got my medications approved. She even joined my appointments and made my doctors work together. For the first time, my whole care team was listening to each other and to me.
I was going to pay for it.
But then we learned that Solace advocates are covered by Medicare.
I used to feel helpless too. Now I know my mom has an advocate.
Solace advocates are healthcare experts who've spent years helping patients. 96% of patients report better care with an advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. Have Medicare? See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE, 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.
Ooh. You would have had a reason to cry 1,000 times over.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have walked out of here. So there are moments with that I've had to say, you know what? I'll wait till you're done. I will wait till you're done, and I walk out.
Right.
And he will come out afterwards and be like, I'm sorry, Mama. That probably wasn't appropriate. No, it wasn't. Mm. Can I have a huggy? Mm-hmm. Please give Mama a huggy. Let's sit here now. Let's talk. Right. Let's talk this through. So there are times, because I have to, realistically, like, I think it really depends on the situation. You know, I know that when we were younger, I was always the fighter. You know that. Mm-hmm. Always the fighter. Even in the streets, I was the freaking fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, and the worst part, I hate confrontation, Gina. One of my biggest fears is confrontation since I'm little. But I've always...
Right, and one would never know that.
You would never know that because I'm always, like, looking at folks. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, why don't you see this, you know? And that, to me, was always just the hardest. It was like... I don't understand why you don't see this. I'm not saying I'm right all the time. I'll never say I'm right all the time. Of course not. But it's the
idea. Nobody is.
No, but it's like, why? I don't understand why I have to continuously say the same shit. Why I have to continuously feel like I'm repeating myself.
That's now where this conversation of silence is coming in, because it's pivoting you. In a new way, because of your experiences, that you're saying, you know what? Maybe I don't need the last word all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe so-and-so can think and feel and do whatever it is that they want to do, and we're just going to let them.
Yeah, let them.
Shout out, Mel. We're going to let them.
Yeah, and the let them theory. And go watch that episode, too, because I do talk about that somewhere as well, the let them theory.
And then the only thing we can control is how we react, how we respond.
That's
it. And whether that means silence, whether that means an outrage, let it be what it's going to be. But the more you know, the better we can do.
You hope so.
And that's where I think it's interesting, because in the way you are now kind of focused and learning on how to use the silence, I'm now the opposite, where I'm focused and trying to use my voice more.
Oof, amen.
And
I've been trying to get you to do that forever.
It's been ongoing. I mean, my whole life, but definitely the past few years specifically. And now I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm out of the situation, you know, got a little distance. And
hindsight is 2020.
Away from it makes it a little bit easier at this point to say, you know what? No, I spent too many years allowing myself to be silent.
Yeah.
And so I'm done.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you like it. I don't care if it, I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that, confrontation has to be conflict.
Amen.
You know, and
but other people take it very differently.
Correct. And
yes.
Also, and something we talk about all the time, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
It's your tone. But I've also noticed in my own personal experience that sometimes, no matter what kind of tone I use, and no matter how nice I say something, if it's still being received as like disrespect or criticism or anything that's affecting ego in
ego.
Any kind of way.
That's what it is. It's the ego, man.
That's where it becomes a big problem. And it's like, you know, I can think of just so many times, like so many times where I specifically chose to bite my tongue and not say anything. And so it killed me the one time I finally got the balls to come out and say, like, oh man, I really hate that. It was one thing, and it was not let go. It was not well received. It was not a personal trait. It was literally something aesthetic, like, oh, I don't really like that there.
Really?
And so it's kind of like in those moments where it really made me question, like, you see, this is why I don't say anything.
Yeah.
I spend so much time not saying anything. And the one time I decide, yeah, like, okay, I want to express my opinion, like just a little bit, like, oh yeah, I really like, I kind of hate that.
Yeah.
Because it was the one thing, that one time,
but it's
that
the, you're
finally
right. It's the
gained
ego. It's the ego,
the urge, yep, the balls to, okay, I'm gonna just do it. I'm gonna say it. Like, I really don't like that.
Yeah.
And it was taken, like, you know, almost like a, like I did something to you,
like,
personally.
Like I punched you,
like,
in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, well, whew, I think it's time to pour.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So we pop it. I mean, I got my coffee because I always say sip the coffee in your tea. But we got some, what is it, Corbel here? Some Corbel. We're gonna sip a little of that too. Cause we are the Prosecco Queens. You know what's interesting though? So while she's doing that, I'm thinking about some of the things that, especially this last breakup that I had with my ex-husband, you know, my second ex, unfortunately. I wish I could say that was a secret. It's not anymore. It's terrible. But it's you can't control other people.
Right.
You can't. You could try everything. I tried everything.
Yeah.
I tried everything to communicate. And then I ended up with, raging narcissist, realistically. And that's what happens. Right. And one thing I do want to preface this by saying is, and I talk about this so much on other episodes, we're not bashing men.
No. Listen, okay. We still love men. Hate them.
Hate them, but love them. I don't like the idea that there's only one person out there for you. I feel like that's too much pressure. That's too much pressure. It's unrealistic. And I think there's nothing wrong with getting to know different people in your life. Because I think the more you learn, the more people you're around, you learn what you're willing to accept and what you're willing not to accept and how it affects you and how to handle certain situations, right? So when I kicked my ex out finally because of all his bad, awful deeds, at the time, probably for years, I would feel the need. Oh, cheers. I would feel the need to lay into him because my anxiety had so much to say. Because I kept saying, and I would be one of those people that would send the long ass texts.
Right.
And then if I got back, was like, okay. It would fucking floor me. How the fuck don't you care? Like, my brain be like, how the fuck don't you care?
Right.
And I would lose it because my anxiety wanted to be like, I'm sorry, you're right. Like, whatever it was, I hear you. And then I got to a point. Yeah, Corbel's good.
Yum.
And then I got to a point that now it's the flipped with that. Now it's like, T, listen, I'm sorry. I know I regret what I did or whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
What you want from me now?
Yeah. Now you get nothing.
Now that's it.
Now you're done.
Nothing. You're done. And so what I've learned now over the years since then too is, you know, Gina knows, and I've talked about it on the show, is that I've dated a few people that I've seen a little bit at a time. I've talked to a bunch of people here and there, getting to know people, whatever, and what I like, what I don't like, what I respect,
yes,
what I don't respect. And the thing is, you see things differently when you're healing, right? You see red flags differently. There were moments with some people that back in the day, I would see a red flag and make an excuse for it.
Oh yeah.
Right? Always.
We're queens at making excuses.
Making excuses always for their bad behaviors or their outbursts or whatever. And as the more and more that I've dated and seen other personalities and stuff, I'm like, bro, you are so unhealed. Now, I'm not saying that healing isn't a journey. We talk about it. Healing is linear. Healing is your whole life. And then when you get in a relationship with somebody else, you start dating someone else, you got to continue healing while you're in that relationship because every person is different.
Absolutely. And now more new things are going to come up because you're exposed to a new person.
But now I don't make excuses for other people, right? I'm like, wow, I see exactly who you are when your guard is down in a way. So for example, when it's just me and you and me and that person in an intimate setting, right? And I just mean talking
like this,
just
this
talking,
intimate setting,
intimate setting. Yes. Just talking.
Yes.
And I say something that hits your ego in any way, because we're just getting to know each other.
Right.
And the real you pops out. It's like, oh shit, there you are.
Right.
You're not this bullshit person you made me believe you were.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that you have bad intentions, because remember, it all is intentional, right? Silence has to have the right intention. action has to have the right intention, right? So it's about learning what's your intention with me. Now, if we get into a situation that you're saying something, again, you being someone I'm dating or talking to, and I say something that hits your ego just because we're just talking, or I ask a question.
Right. Because if it's somebody brand new, you're never going to know what is going to
trigger
a chord.
What's going to trigger somebody? Yeah, you could say some shit that triggers the crap out of me.
Right.
Easily. Right. So it's now the way we approach it after you're triggered that makes me now say, what are we doing here?
Right.
You have not been doing the healing work. Mm-hmm. Right. And how much of that am I going to allow? And because of that, I've ended some stuff a few weeks. Oh, I'm not talking to this person no more. I've cut a few off. I'm like, we're good. We're good. Right. And if I'm uncomfortable, because I'm looking for safety now, if I'm going to be with anybody ever again, it's because we are making each other feel safe, that I am emotionally safe with you, because I've never had that. Yeah. Right. I don't have to feel like I'm on edge or walking on eggshells.
Right.
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 Because when you're with someone else, you're going to trigger each other in general. That's life.
Absolutely.
Right? But it's how you handle, and it's your intention. If you're using it as a weapon, your intention is purely evil.
Correct.
To hurt somebody else.
Yes.
That includes silence.
Yes.
That's what the silent treatment is for. To intentionally hurt
somebody.
Yeah,
to intentionally punish somebody. It can be used as control.
Yes.
Or punishment.
Right.
And that's where it becomes a detriment.
That's where it becomes a detriment. And that's where we betray ourselves a lot too, because we allow ourselves sometimes to take it as a reflection on ourselves. I forgot I have these funny little ice cube things in here, and they look like rocks. And
rocks.
When I saw them, I was like, what in the hell is in my coffee? I forgot they were in here. And I was like, what are these giant rocks in here? Wow, I digress.
And you haven't even sipped the wine yet.
I haven't sipped the wine yet. I know. My God. It's just that thing that I think it's the intention behind it. We also fall for potential. We protect potential. But I think I'm better off now not doing that.
I think everybody's going to be better off in the long run by not doing that. And I think the problem is, how do we know? And how much time are we willing to put in to discern whether or not this valid potential is going to grow or not?
I've learned, I think, Gina, that, and this is just from my most recent, the person I was recently seeing, who I've been, actually was the longest I've seen exclusively in 3 years, right? Really, really nice dude. And I'm not completely cutting him off. I mean, I don't know. We'll see how life goes. But I'm not talking now, because we're talking almost 6 months. And when it was really good, it was amazing. We were hysterical together. But we were also a lot alike in a lot of ways. So we butted heads. And I do not need any more yelly conversations in my life. I don't need any more stress. Here's what I think the potential part comes in. I don't need someone who's going to just tell me they want to do something.
Do it. Make the plan.
Whatever it is.
It doesn't matter.
To me, your word is bond, right? If I give you my word, I'm sticking by my word.
Right. But that's how you are.
Right.
Word is bond. And really, the truth of the matter, it should be action.
Fuck yeah.
Because the words don't really mean anything if the action is not backing it up.
My point is that when I say word is bond, yes, when I say something, I mean it, I'm going to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So many people say it and there is no action behind it. And that was what I came across.
Yeah.
It was so much intention of action.
I miss you. I want to see you.
Mm.
Why have you not called me in 3 weeks?
Why haven't you come see me?
Right.
Why haven't you said, let's go out to dinner? And listen,
there's been no plan.
You're busy at work. I'm busy at work. I'm busy at life. I cannot stand a person that says to me, I don't have the time. Bro, I work two jobs. I'm a single mother of two kids. I do a podcast, all this stuff. And if I can find the time because I want to spend time with you, don't just tell me you want to spend time with me. Make it happen.
Right.
And here's the thing. It got to a point that I was like, you know what? Then you're just not that into me.
That's it.
And if that's the case, I'm cool with that also.
Absolutely.
I don't want to waste my time with nobody.
Yeah.
But when I would bring that up, it was hitting ego. That's not true. Why do you think that? Really?
Right.
Why do I think that? Let me count the ways.
Right.
And it's like, it's just like I got scared. I haven't fallen for someone in so long. And here's the point of where that got annoying to me. we know that men are not all men. And by the way, when I say just this is women too, avoidant, with the one sitting right here, avoidant. Okay. You know, yes, things get scary for me too. If I feel like I'm feeling something for you, yeah, I'm scared because I'm like, shit,
here we go again,
right? Like, here we go again. And I'm like, oh, do I want to do this again? I don't know, right? And I'm like, I'm going to be taking shit very differently now. Like, I don't, like, very differently now. But what I learned with most of the men that I seem to meet are avoidance. That's an energy situation. I'm working on that. Oh, I'm working on that. I think a big part of that is with this particular person, what I noticed is they have this mentality, being single, they were single for 3 years or something, or 2 years, and then officially, whatever. Then he completely kind of went into his own silo, avoided everybody, worked 24/7, right? I mean, didn't hang out with no one, didn't date, didn't talk to nobody, blah, 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 and thought that was him healing.
Right.
So now you get to a point that you're like, I'm really finally ready to be with somebody, and oh shit, I like her. I really care about her. I could see a future with her. Now you're terrified.
Right.
And when I call you out on it, I'm the bad guy. Right. And there were moments, and we kind of touched on this, Gina, because there were moments that I used to say, okay, and I gave him a long time because I knew he was not a bad person. He had a good heart. He had met Nico and Natalie.
That's what always gets us, isn't
it? That's what always gets us. And I've said from now on, I'm not giving more than 6 months to anybody. If you don't show me within really the first couple of weeks that you're going to stand by your word, but because again of who I am and because I saw his potential, I gave it some time. The caveat to this was I realized that a lot of the arguments we would get to was he took no accountability for actions in relationships past. So he was, I guess, with a woman who did him very, very, very dirty, bad, really bad, you know, and we know those relationships break you. They break your spirit. They break your soul. You have to rebuild, but that's where healing comes through. And that's what you should be doing. So at this point, when I would say, well, I think when I look at my past relationship, I have to say, look, no, I did not cause him to cheat on me. I did not cause him to lose his mind. That's a him problem. However, where do I stand in what I'm in causing certain downfalls of my relationship? Right? That's healing. That's accountability.
Yeah. And that's a really big and important part because it's very easy, especially in your situation specifically, to just blame.
Yeah.
You did this. It is 100% all your fault.
Right.
And that could be true. But even in that, for you to have the wherewithal to say, you know what? Maybe there were some things that I contributed to.
Hell yeah.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Right there were moments, there were things there, or even looking back, maybe there were some red flags that I explained away. And we've all done it.
Hell yeah,
you know.
And I think that's a big thing. So what I would say was, you know, and I would have conversations with them. I said, well, you know what? I think maybe you haven't really processed everything that happened. And then I said, and to be honest, not that I condone what she did to you by any means. I do not condone destroying a person. I do not condone that shit. I think it's disgusting and karma's a bitch. Absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. However, I was like, I think there, if you even treated her a little bit the way you've done me in just 4, 5, 6 months, I could understand maybe her being unhappy. Right. Doesn't mean I condone the behavior. And when I tell you, when the way that script flipped, you are so out of pocket for saying I had anything to do with what she did. And I said, first of all, whoa, I never said that.
I don't even mean to laugh, but I think the idea of any relationship, I'm not saying that situation specifically, either with you or him, and whatever, right? In any situation, it's a matter of...
We're old, it happens. It'll come back.
Oh God, it's gone.
But this is what I mean when I say, and you might remember it now at this point, but I think a lot of it is that protecting the potential. Oh, go.
Because how in any relationship, any ship, I'm not talking about a romantic, any kind of relationship where there are two individuals involved.
I get it. When someone is shipping somebody else.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Any kind of ships, friendship, relationship.
Gina, I never knew when they said I'm shipping this person. I never knew what that meant. No, swear to God.
Wow. Insert light bulb here.
I just got it.
It's like, it's this idea that no matter what happens, no matter what the situation, there's never going to be 100%. It's all your fault.
Amen.
I did absolutely nothing.
Amen.
I'm completely faultless. Yeah. Like, and so the idea that anybody can have that mentality of like, you're out of pocket. How could you say that? I did nothing wrong. That means it's now been how many years later, and you're still convinced in your own brain that you were completely 100%
perfect.
Yeah. The perfect partner.
Yep.
That how could this person do that to you?
Yeah, exactly. Tell me the audacity of thought.
That's even worse than the fact that they could say then to you, like, oh, you're so out of pocket. What?
It's like, that's what, to me, it is
the make it make sense.
It's the audacity of I did nothing wrong. And I'm looking at this dude who I really, really like, who legitimately is doing everything wrong.
Saying I did nothing wrong.
And then here's where the silence part comes in. Because I felt myself in those moments. Well, let me go back, because the part of that also was, again, the protection of that relationship. That was gone a long time ago. The girl is still with the guy she left you for. Why? And it's because it's an ego thing. It's a pure ego thing. And it's like, nobody could ever talk about it because you weren't there. I get it. You never talk about what happens in someone's house. I'm not talking about what happens in your house. I'm going by what you've told me.
Right.
That's all I can do.
Right?
That is literally all I can do. So when there's that mentality, you're kind of like, why are you still protecting something or the potential of what that was? Because he was like, oh, well, when it was good, it was great. And when it was bad, it was really bad. No, it was always bad. I know when I look back at my relationship, yeah, we thought we had good moments and maybe we did, but that person was always going to hurt me.
Mm.
That person was always that person.
They were just lying dormant.
Until the time. They were the disease that was about to start erupting in you, around you, and the decay was coming, right? So I was like, after about a few months, I legitimately realized to him, I said everything I could possibly say.
There's nothing left.
Nothing left. And I kept saying, what are you doing, T? And then there was that breadcrumbing. I miss you. And I'd be like, yeah, I kind of miss you too. And then my brain would go back. And back
F
in the day.
F you!
Facts. Because back in the day, I'd be like, yeah, we were really good when it was good. Fuck that when it was good. No, it's never always going to be perfect. But this shit is not doing that.
It's, and you know what? It's not about perfect, but it's about consistent.
Consistency.
So if, you know, over the course of even 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
You can't get yourself to a consistent place and I've now given you 5-6 months to like, okay, you're saying you miss me. You say you want to see me.
Yep.
You say you want X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I'm still giving you the chance.
Yep.
And still they're choosing like, I'm going to text you.
Yeah.
WID.
Mm. And yo, men,
you know,
in like, your 40s and 50s, that shit is so fucking tacky.
How old are we?
Yeah, like that's so fucking tacky. I cannot stand it. And I've gotten to the point in my life that I'm just like, no, why are you protecting the potential of what could have been when reality is it never was?
Right.
It wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then you're punishing me.
Right.
For what could have been. And I think when it got, so it got to that point and I was like, you know what? I'm betraying myself again.
Mm.
I am because I don't want to feel the uncomfortability of understanding what this actually is.
Mm-hmm.
This actually right now is unhealthy like other things, and I need to step the hell away, use my silence as a virtue.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's what I finally did.
Yes, but in mine, it was for me a positive thought, because again, it was that thought of, I've said everything I can say. There's nothing, you know already.
Right.
There's nothing else I can say. and I'm not going to repeat myself again. This is what I'm doing now for me.
Yeah.
Come correct. Don't come back at all. Simple is that. Because I think you're a good person. I wish you well, but I'm not doing this. And it's kind of gotten to the point that's really been in every ship in my life. I'm getting to the point that I'm not going to fight with you anymore for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You come correct. I'll come correct. Whatever it is, but we're going to deal with this separately another time.
Right. Where is it? We're not going. We're not going.
We're not going back and forth. We're not going up and down.
We're not going up and down. We ain't going around the bend.
No, I'm not going above and beyond.
Oh, God, no.
No more above and beyond.
We ain't bending backwards.
No, hell no. No.
Done.
And I think, again, that comes with experience. It comes with the thought that no matter what we say or do, perception is 100% the key,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I think that makes it even harder because we can't control somebody else's perception.
You can't.
So at the end of the day, all we can do is try to be kind, respectful, honest, transparent.
Transparent. Consistent.
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 You know?
You know, and I think a lot of times with that silence, you know, it becomes, I think there were moments it did become betrayal. And what I did learn.
Self-betrayal.
Yeah. What I did learn, something else about that, like I said, it would drive me crazy if I would send a text message and get nothing back. I would have that urge to double and triple text. Mm-hmm. And
oh, you didn't respond to the first one. I'm gonna give you something else you're gonna have to respond to.
And it's like, what is that? But again, I know that's my anxiety.
Right.
Because I had abandonment issues. It was always abandonment issues because anytime I was in anything, I would always feel like I was the one being dropped in a way. Right. Even though I was actually the one making the moves.
Right.
For breakups and stuff. Because it wasn't just relationships. Again, it wasn't just romantic relationships, it's all other relationships, right? And I learned that their silence is just more information.
Yeah.
It's just more information that I need. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. They're gonna hear popping and all kinds of crap as I keep it in the microphone. But I think that's what it is. I think silence is just more information. And I didn't really come up with that. ChatGPT did.
Well, ChatGPT is genius. We know this.
My sage girl. I feel bad because God that uses our drinking water, please use AI responsibly. But when she said that, I went, holy shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more information.
Yeah.
Whether they can just, maybe they just can't handle it emotionally.
But that also goes back to the saying of, you know, silence can speak 1,000 words.
Mm. Amen.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You don't have to be a genius to be able to feel the energy of somebody's silence.
Yo.
Because there is a common, peaceful silence that you know if I'm cozied up on the couch and I'm like in my own little cocoon and then you can tell like, oh, she's cool. She's just quiet. She's chilling in her own little world.
Yes.
If I'm completely secluded away, you know, or you could just see you again. There's an energy. Like, don't say you, oh, I didn't know. I couldn't tell you were upset, whatever it is.
Yes.
And now, while I can take fault for my own behavior in terms of not just being like, oh, hey, I'm upset or I'm anxious or I'm feeling X, Y, and
right.
Z. No, I didn't necessarily ever feel the need or desire to just come out with it.
Yeah.
But I think part of that was also because it's like, my God, like, this is my partner. Like, he's supposed to know me. Can't he?
Yes.
Can't he feel my energy? Can't he understand like how much I'm suffering? Why won't he just come to me?
That was always.
And that's part of why I was always so silent because my silence was actually just begging for attention.
Yeah.
Please see me. Please come and talk to me. Please touch me. Please, please
Gina.
Know that I'm here. Please acknowledge my presence. And it wasn't. And so I rested in silence.
Yeah.
And I told myself I was just protecting my peace.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I am at a point now where I'm trying to find how to use my words in all situations.
See, the complete opposite.
Right. Like that, that's for me.
Yeah.
I need to choose my silence intentionally and not just default to silence.
Yeah.
Because my problem was, that's my default mechanism.
Yeah.
I'm going to be silent. I'm going to exclude myself from whatever because, you're grown and I shouldn't have to tell, I shouldn't have to explain things.
That part.
So it's kind of like, part. I don't want to have to you all the time.
Yeah.
Because at what point are you going to show, like, come correct as a grown man,
as a grown
come
man.
To me and like, yeah. you know,
when we are training men in their 40s, it's disgusting.
I mean, you know,
they say men don't mature to 43. Trust me. No, I date men 45, 47. Yeah. They're still struggling. They're still struggling. What you said is literally like hitting it on the head. And it reminded me just of the conversation we also had about work relationships, that lately I've been feeling at work just so attacked with so many things. And my default is defend, right. defend, defend.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to do my job.
Right.
Don't. I talk about this on a TikTok, on one of my TikTok, because I was so stressed. I would get out of a meeting and I would just anger cry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all the things I really wanted to say and I had to hold back.
Right.
I'm saying, but I would say certain things. Don't tell me how to do my job. And you're talking to me like I'm stupid. I'm a grown woman, professional, right? And I would get defensive and I'd get mad and I would be like, who the hell are you? Some older white man who doesn't know me, doesn't know my job, telling me what to do. And that's just one example, right? Mm-hmm. And then recently, and we're talking within just a few weeks, really, I said to myself, I said, what is the point? Let them say and believe whatever the hell they want.
Right. Because no matter what you say, it's not going to change their belief.
No. And then what happens? I look like the crazy one.
Right.
I look like, oh, there's that trope again.
There's that crazy Latina who don't know how to control her attitude.
Right. Well, I'm in a sea of non-melanined people.
Right.
I know I look very light here, but I am a melanined woman.
Melanated?
Melanated. Melanated? Whatever. Either way, melanin. No,
that's probably wrong.
Melanin. Whatever. But that's the reality, you know. And I think that's a big part of it. For me, is no matter what the relationship is, whether it's family or friends or professional, I've had to understand that everybody comes from a place of trauma in their own ways. Mm-hmm. Because we have a bad habit of thinking some people have less traumatic experiences than others just because of upbringing and shit.
Right.
Right. There are places of privilege.
Yes.
For sure. Where people cannot understand and hear certain things and understand tropes. That's for sure. Trauma, we all,
I mean,
everybody,
just by being human.
Yes.
You've dealt right. with some sort of trauma.
So that silence, really, I've been trying to make it more of a virtue for me as protection for me.
Right. Well, because when used with the correct intention.
Yep. Yep.
Then it's different.
Yeah. And I think that's a big piece. I think that's a big, big piece of it. You know, I was telling you earlier that I was listening to Keisha Cole, I Should Have Let You Go. And I've listened to it forever.
Obviously.
I know the words by heart. If I tried to tell you now, I could never remember the words because my brain would totally shut down now. But it just happened to come on this morning and as I was getting ready and I was like, wait a second, I'm actually listening to right. the words. And I'm like, it reminded me of the situations that it's not a song about blaming mm-hmm. somebody else for their actions. Because again, there's two sides to every right. story.
And she does reference to, we both know we're wrong.
Yes. You're right.
Or is it we both know you're wrong? Either way, she acknowledges we.
She acknowledges we.
It's not just you.
Yes. And that's exactly the point. Like, I think we hold on too long.
Yeah.
To situations, to people, to traumas, to yeah. experiences that we know are bad for us. And then we use certain coping mechanisms that are eventually and are going to hurt us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, as much as silence can be used as a punishment, as a weapon, self-protection, self-betrayal, I've been learning to use silence a little bit more and sitting in it. That
meaning
part is
like, I'm going to give myself the pause.
Yes. Yeah.
Before that knee-jerk reaction, yeah. let me take a pause.
And actually in two ways, that's definitely one of them where I have to go, you feel that discomfort, Teresa.
Reel it back.
You want to react. You want to send some shit and tell them off.
Right.
But then how is that going to make you feel better when you get nothing in return?
Right.
You sound like a crazy bitch when you know you're not. You may not think you're wrong, but that it doesn't matter. Someone who's already that overstimulated, they're just, one, they may not even read the damn thing.
Right.
So you're just wasting your breath.
Absolutely.
The whole time. The other part of it is when I say sitting in silence is I'm always used to having someone to talk to. Always. Usually a guy, because I just have a lot of guy friends. I have whatever. But in general, having someone, I don't have to necessarily sit. I can sit and listen to music and I'm good. Watch TV, I'm good. But even watching TV, I get restless sometimes because I'm like, ooh, I need to be talking to somebody.
Or a TV on while scrolling the phone.
Yes.
Because it's more of a distraction.
Yeah. I have been learning more and more to sit in my own silence. Right? Just being me. It could be a Friday or Saturday night and I want to be like, I want to do something. I'm not a want to go outside kind of person. Fuck that. But the idea is, you know, if I call so-and-so, they'd be here in a minute. If I texted so-and-so, he'd be like, hell yeah, I'll be right there. And I know that, but I've been learning to use my discomfort to actually bring me comfort.
Yeah.
And say, you know what?
Because you learn through your discomfort.
Yeah.
We don't grow without some sort of like pain or discomfort.
Yeah. We really don't. And
I always say, I always use the reference growing up, we watched the show Growing Pains, right?
Oh yeah.
But just that term in and of itself, growing pains, like when we break that down into what it means growth is painful.
Damn right it is.
It doesn't matter what kind of growth. Is it personal growth? Is it growth in a relationship? Mm-hmm. With neighbors, with coworkers, with friends, with, romantic relationships.
And we know that's a lot of the reason people are unhealed. Also, I've met the people that think that they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, bro, you're just as fucked up as me. Like, you can't hold a relationship either.
Right.
You can't even hold a conversation. Yeah. But a relationship. Right. We can't have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because you're so on the defense that it's like, you should be able to communicate.
Absolutely.
You should be able to have healthy arguments, healthy disagreements. That's a part of life. You should be able to do that. And I think there's just so many people who can't do it. And I'm not saying that I'm great at it. I'm learning.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said I talked about it on my last, the last episode, the first one of the year, because it has taken me until December 31st. I was still going where I was like, you said enough.
Right.
You have said enough, T, like let it go and let them be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I made the mistake after the new year when I got the 2 weeks ago, not even a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
I mean, we're only two and a half weeks into the new year.
Literally, the door was reopened again. All of a sudden, the conversation was like an hour long, chilling. How's everything going? Blah, 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 blah. Next thing I know, we're hanging up the phone and I'm seething.
Right.
This motherfucker didn't hold any accountability for the things that I had said last time we spoke. That's not correct. Spoke, right? There's no accountability. There was no apology for what I had said. He apologized for something he felt he needed to apologize for, but not the actual things that hurt me, right? There was no, and what did I do? Run off at the mouth. Run off at the mouth. I knew it was wrong. I should have did it.
But you couldn't help yourself.
But I couldn't help myself in that moment. Yep. And after, when it got like, I couldn't delete them. You know, when you get with the iPhone, you can delete up to about like 30 seconds after you send a message.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I bypassed that time. I didn't realize. I should have just deleted them. So I sent the last message. You know what? My bad. I should have said nothing. But my anxiety got the better of me. I'm good. Have a nice life. Talk soon at some point. That's it. Like, legitimately, I had to reel myself back and be like, what did I accomplish with that? But it was because I couldn't sit in that discomfort. And those coping mechanisms, we need to take more serious for avoidance, for over everything, whatever, right? Because I think that's really important that we understand that we have to be uncomfortable to finally learn comfort.
Well, and also just the fact of like, it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Damn right.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
We don't like it. And we're so used to being like, oh no, I need something to make me comfortable.
Instant gratification.
Instant.
Yeah.
And realistically, it's like, no, you know what? There could be lessons. And I think that's the biggest thing is that whenever there is discomfort, reframe your mind to say, what is this trying to teach me? Why am I uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Why do I feel so uncomfortable in this silence?
Yep.
What is that?
Yeah.
And doing more self-reflection
to
figure out like where that is coming from.
Yeah.
I always thought, even just up until recently, that by keeping silent, I was keeping the peace. I was just calm. And everybody would tell me all the time, like, oh my God, like, you're so calm, you're so collected. Yep. And yep. I don't know how you do it. I would have flipped out a long time ago.
Damn right. I've been saying it our whole life.
And just all of the things. But for me, it was, you know, just wanting to stay quiet because I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. I didn't want to push him. It was constantly just making excuses. Oh, well, he's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
And so I feel really bad. I don't want to pile on like,
I'm feeling feelings.
When you know, you're going through all of your things,
being
which
human.
Were also valid, right? They're also valid. But I use that too much as an excuse and then spun it to be, well, I'm just protecting the peace. I'm keeping quiet. I want things to be nice and calm. And it's like, our health is more important.
Yeah.
And so let me just make sure that we're like trying to take care of each other and not really dealing with the tough conversations and the emotions.
The problem is there's never going to be a right time.
There never is.
There never is. You just got to peel off that band-aid.
Right. For me,
I
was always searching for that perfect moment, waiting for that perfect moment of opportunity or, you know, saying certain things in certain ways, thinking like, well, if I say it in this way, it'll prompt you to ask me a question that I can then open up to.
Yeah.
Because I'm too, I can't be so vulnerable as to just come out and say it. But if you ask me the right questions, then we might be able to get into it a little bit more. And I realize now that my silence was not maturity because it was rooted in fear.
Ooh,
And so, you know, for a very long time, I thought, well, I'm being the bigger person by choosing to stay silent and not make a big deal about these, quote, little things that, like, why does this bother me?
Yeah.
Of course, now looking back, no, I realized it was valid. And yes, it should have bothered me. But even if that wasn't the case, if it was valid and it bothered me, then that should have been enough.
Agreed.
And it should have been enough that I should have, again, in those moments, just said, hey, not cool.
Yeah.
Right. And it, but in my mind, it was always going to be like this whole thing that would turn into an unraveling.
But I think on the other side is the same thing. Because I used to always say also, well, if I don't say it right now, and then I wait, they always say, when you're in therapy, they always tell you, come back to it.
Pause. Yeah.
But I'm like, but I've been in relationships or around people where you do that. And then it's like, oh Jesus, we're doing this again.
Right.
Like, you're God, like, you're yo, we never, nothing was
over it.
Yeah. Like, nothing was satisfied. Yeah. It's like, God, again. I'm like, yo, we never resolved it. So it's not about again. It was never resolved. And then we're having the same arguments over and over and over and over and over.
Bringing up the past.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter anymore.
And I'm like, it's not the past. It's the present because it keeps happening.
It's the same thing over and over again.
So I do. I think I've got to the point that, you can pour me a little something there too. I think I've gotten to the point now that, yes, we are learning. And for the audience, silence is a wonderful tool if used properly. And it's for protection.
Yes.
But protection of self-worth, protection of peace, protection of intention.
Ooh.
Right? Because I thought about this for a second. What, for me specifically, because of what I use, what I don't use silence for. That's the problem. I'm the opposite. I don't use silence. So for me, I need to protect what it is my intention is. So if I'm saying my intention is to get your attention, why am I screaming at you via text, via whatever? All I'm doing is pushing the opposite direction. If I'm trying and I know that I need to either get your attention, I need to answer something, I'm done. I need you to understand I'm done. That's my intention.
Right.
And my silence is going to show that to you.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. As opposed to,
right.
Here's because everything I'm feeling at once and fuck you too while you're at it, right?
Right.
That is not going to do anything to anybody, and it's not going to be good. So, you know, G, I think we've really evolved in a lot of ways, you know, as yes, females and in relationships.
Still, and still works in progress.
Damn right. Know? So for the avoiders, you know, we're kind of coming to not the end of our conversation, because for us is an ongoing conversation. For the audience, you know, these are conversations that we're always going to have because they're important to have.
Yeah.
This is not an end all be all know it all kind of situation. These are real life practices, you know, and we're human and everybody is human and we're all making mistakes and this world is disgusting. So it's like trying to navigate the world and our lives and still trying to do the best we can and heal. It's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. And by the way, that's why there's a lot of single people out there also.
Right.
Because they're like, wow. I'm not dealing with
and
this.
And the intention is to be single.
And the intention is, the intention is to be single until I know that I can, if I step out again, I know what I'm looking for and I can now identify it.
Right.
Very quickly, right? Listen, everybody can place blame. Oh, you know, I'm not like, you know, this last nine didn't work. Well, okay. Well, what is your part in that?
Yes.
I can always look back and go, I saw my part in certain things. I wasn't placing just blame, but that didn't start that way.
Yeah.
That did not start that way. For me, it's been years and years and years in the making, and it kind of goes that way. So I think for us right now, you know, for the podcast listeners, I think, you know, this is such a good wrap up of our conversation because it's just important that we understand where we're coming from. And these conversations are going to continue to be had and, you know, to join us and, you know, come sit with us and sometimes sit in the discomfort with us, because I think that's really important too. But what I want to kind of end on for an avoidant in your sense, what are some tools that you've learned and maybe some coping mechanisms that you think you can still use so you're not using it to betray yourself really?
So I think one of the biggest things is to start by just practicing naming the discomfort early.
I think that can go both ways, by the way.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Both ways. Yep. But just even in the sense of, you know, if something makes you uncomfortable, if any of those things, like just being able to recognize it and call out the why, learning how to say small things before they become big things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that obviously that'll be tested, you know, going forward, but regardless in any and all ships now,
yeah.
I do find that I'm trying to just be more vocal in all things.
Yeah.
As we said before, just this idea, this knowing that confrontation does not equal or does not have to.
It does not have to equal
conflict.
And it shouldn't. It always
shouldn't.
Equal.
It shouldn't. And you know, to use words before resentment builds.
Yeah.
People
aren't mind readers.
No, people are not mind readers. And I think for far too long, I was expecting that you should just know, like, yes, I know you're not a mind reader, but don't you know me?
Yeah, that's it.
Right. And so I think that's where it gets a little bit hard. Like after all these years, you don't know me. You don't know my aura enough to feel when something is off. And then what's worse, finding out, oh, all that time you knew it was off and you were intentionally choosing to avoid me because of it.
That part.
That was like, oh my God, like what?
Yeah.
So all this time I was suffering, just waiting like a silent cry for help. And it was just like, oh yeah, no, I knew. I just
didn't want to be bothered with it.
Yeah, it was like silence on that part too. So, and also just to kind of tie up the silence being used as a detriment, which is when it's being used for control or punishment.
Oh, that's the silence, the silent treatment. Oh,
when it creates anxiety, confusion, or self-doubt.
Whew.
Right. Yeah. So how many times have I sat in my silence just confused and spinning?
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, hey, listen, I'm feeling a certain kind of way.
Yep.
And I think we need to talk about it, right? No, I would sit in my silence and my confusion and just be by myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If the silence makes you abandon yourself just to keep access to this person.
That goes both ways too. Because
yes, it does.
Woo! My God, that's something that we all do.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
That's scary. That's scary. Wow.
As we said before, staying quiet, not to push someone, right?
Yeah.
We want to keep the peace. And then alternatively, silence being used in a healthy way when it's being chosen intentionally, mm-hmm. When it brings relief, yeah. when it brings calm, when you feel yes. your nervous safety. System relaxing.
Safety, regulation.
Exactly.
Regulation.
And yeah. silence can be used as an answer when words have already been given.
Information.
So that goes back to what yep. you were saying Information. Before. And so that kind of yep. just like ties that up.
And so much of that kind of falls in my category as well, right? But I'll say, you know, again, for me, a lot of it is being because I'm the over whatever I want to say, the over whatever it is. The one who just overthinks, overdoes, you yeah. know. My thought has to be always stop for a second, chill the anxiety, mm-hmm. chill the impulse.
The impulse is the part.
The impulse yeah. that says you have to attack. Say something back. Yeah. You have to attack. They're attacking who you are as a person.
Right.
They're attacking your character. When it's like, T, you know who you are.
Right.
They don't know you like you know you. Now, with that being said, yes, some people are mirrors. And with that being said too, you have to take every interaction you have with another person as a mirror and say, oh, I did not handle parts of that well.
Right.
Now I can reflect. What could I have done better? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not like sitting back going, I know who I am. I'm perfect. They're assholes. And that's it. No. It's saying, okay, don't react because you know what? Maybe part of what they're saying is true.
Right.
And maybe right. I need to sit and reflect on this without instantly arguing about right. it. Because their silence is that straight up information and my silence is information to them. Mm-hmm. Right. Now the ball's in your court.
Right.
I'm done.
That's it.
Right. And I think that's a huge one is the stepping back for a split second. Mm-hmm. Also, finding ways to sit in that discomfort.
Yeah.
You can color. I love to color. You can listen to music, all that stuff. There's that idea that you always have to be near someone, around someone, talking to somebody, this, that, the other thing. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's nice to have someone sitting in the same room with you. It's nice to have someone watch a movie with you. But it's also nice to sit in your damn chair, have the remote to yourself.
That's it.
With whatever drink you prefer.
Amen.
And not being aggravated or not being in a room with somebody and the energy is that you're still in an empty room.
Right. And I think that's the worst and that's the hardest
that's
part.
That's the worst and the hardest, yeah.
Of the silence yeah. is I'd rather be alone, like actually alone yep. in peace than with someone that's making me feel like anxious because like, well, what are they thinking? They don't want me anymore. They don't love me. They don't yep. want to be with me. What like, yep. you know what I mean? Yep. So I'd rather just
yeah.
be in my own peace
yeah.
and silence.
You know what? I told you that for years.
Oh yeah.
So if that ending felt a little abrupt, yeah, that's because it was. See, this conversation with Gina was originally recorded as a couch conversation. On video, no holds barred. And when you're listening to it audio only, like other things, it kind of seems to just end. And honestly, that is the beauty of it. Unfiltered, a little messy, and exactly how real life sounds. But if you want to see this conversation, the expressions, the energy, the side eyes, and of course the bubbly, the full video version will be available on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe. You can also find us on Instagram at Prosecco Queens Podcast or on TikTok at Prosecco Queens Podcast, where we keep this conversation going and have fun doing it. Don't forget to like, share, and follow because these conversations matter and they're not meant to stay in the dark. This is Prosecco Queens Podcast, unfiltered, a little messy, and always real. We'll see you next time.